Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Ryan, Homefield Apparel is back to support Gopher Gridiron Radio, and the weather has turned, and they have cold weather options, Ryan. They have jackets, they have pullovers, you know, they have sweatshirts, everything, and these premium vintage designs are going to help you stand out in your tailgate, or maybe just at that gathering as you're going to consume Gopher sports here in the colder months.
Well, let me say this, Luke, for the amount of traveling that I've done this year, or just walking in and amongst the masses at tailgates and just out and about, the amount of Gopher home field apparel stuff that I see out in the wild there is astounding to me. Now, I would like to hope that you and I are a part of the reason how Gopher fans have found such high quality, unique Gopher stuff at homefieldapparel.com. But if you haven't already, go to Home Field Apparel, click on the Minnesota tab, and you're going to see unique things that you won't see at Goldie's Locker Room or wherever else you get your maroon and gold merch, including their new pullover, which is fancy dancy. Now, true story, Luke, my family was a big pullover family growing up, and my dad still, I think, has 15 or so pullovers. And this Gopher one, considering you only got a couple of home games left, you're going to want to rock this thing out in the tailgate lot. I can assure you, you're going to get plenty of compliments. So we'll go to Home Field Apparel, check out their stuff today. And when you get to checkout, use the promo code GG in the numbers 24 to get 15% off your first order.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Dewar.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we're back here during the bye week. And my one goal for today's episode, Luke Dewar, besides to help people kill some time, talk a little bit of Gopher football, is to not make people cry for a third straight episode. Because apparently that's the new thing, is when I don't have sleep, I get people a little emotional. So my goal today, Luke, I don't want anybody to cry on this episode.
I feel like your softer side. Have I finally brought out your softer side? Like, I've been trying for so long. I've talked about for years, right? You make your own memories, you know, yep. Shared experiences are undefeated, etc. The number of people that have come up to me at games saying, like, I never thought about it this way, but you're totally right. Or I'm waiting for the person to be like, you're an idiot, winning's all that matters. I'm still waiting to meet that person. I'm sure they're out there.
I had both experiences, by the way, out in Pasadena, where you have people come up to you and you say, love the podcast or love what you write.
Yeah.
And then you got people on the flip side where I had one person come up to me, and I won't say their name.
That's fine.
Luke, How would you respond in a situation like this? So they,
I'm so excited.
You know, they walk up and they're like, "Hey, you know, love what you're doing." I'm like, "Hey, thanks, appreciate you supporting." And they're like, "You're also bigger than I thought." And I went, "Okay, are you talking like height, weight?" They're like, "Oh." And I went,
"Did they say yes? Did they say yes?"
Well, they said both. And I'm like, okay, well, look, I don't hide from the fact that I'm 6'4", 240 pounds. I understand I could probably try to get back a belt loop or two. You don't have to tell me in my early 30s now, but it's just like, it was kind of a, I got back to the hotel that night, Luke, and I looked in the mirror and I was like, maybe this is the bye week. I tried to eat a little bit cleaner, because if people are coming up to you and saying, "Yeah, you're a little bit bigger than I thought." Well, thanks for feeling the need to let me know that. That was appreciated.
I think people's intentions are never meant to be malicious, right? I think that. But
yeah, I mean, you hope so, but
the number of times people have come up to me like, "Well, you're way taller than I thought," and I'm not a particularly like super tall individual.
6'1" Roseville.
Whatever. 6'1". Get out of here with that garbage. Yeah. Okay. All right. So yeah, we should talk some Gopher football. I actually really enjoy this. We have absolutely no script. We're just getting on talking like two guys that are calling each other on the phone to talk about Gopher football. And Ryan, I guess I want to go back to because we record a lot of our stuff. We in the preseason. You know, we do a preseason prediction every year, and some people hold you accountable in particular. Nobody seems to hold me accountable. But Ryan...
Well, I'm a full-time guy. You're the man who shows up for the podcast, and we hope you hit record. So I understand I get held to a different standard, but it also bothers the absolute... Like, this is genuine, folks. Like, if you've listened to the last few preview episodes where we get to the end and we give our score predictions, the fact that I have, like... so much time to look into it, and then Luke's like, "Well, I guess it's an east breeze today and Mercury is in retrograde, so I'm going to predict this score, and it happens to be within 2 points of mine." I cannot stress to you how quickly I rub my temples and be like, "What do I even do this for?"
All right, so when we started the season, we both predicted 7-5 for this Gopher squad, right? And this is a challenging schedule. I don't think anybody would argue that, but that is the new Big Ten, right? But if we came into the bye week, Ryan, we both said that the Gophers would be 4-3. How they got there is very different than kind of what we expected. And I want to kind of go over that, and because I think it will create some interesting conversation. So we both predicted that they would beat North Carolina. Neither of us predicted that they would beat USC. All the other games we predicted correctly. And I think one thing that I want to point out, Ryan, that I found very interesting when I was able to look at the stats is we went through this season and you had been talking about coin flips during the offseason to me. You know, there were going to be a high number of coin flip games, etc., right? And you classified four of the first four games as coin flips. I would argue that you got four right. You just picked one incorrectly. But the Gophers in the games that you classified as coin flips ended up being the Gophers were 4-1, right? And ultimately, the one game that we classified preseason together was Iowa that ended up not being a coin flip at all. That was wrong. And then they ended up flipping. You ended up classifying USC as a coin flip, and I didn't. And then they ended up winning. It seems to be a pretty good trend, Ryan. All in all, this is a good trend being 3-1 in your coin flip games.
Well, that's where I would argue, going back to it, that Iowa was a coin flip game. The way it played out,
it wasn't in the end, yes, but at the beginning, for sure.
That's where you and I disagree on this thing. But I would also say, just in general, now having hindsight is the benefit, and hindsight's always 20/20 for a reason. Every single Power Four game so far has ended up, in my opinion, being a coin flip, where it could have gone either way. Now, I know that the Iowa score would indicate that it shouldn't have been, but Minnesota's winning by a touchdown at halftime and they just implode on themselves. It's been so interesting to kind of see the makeup of what the schedule has been for what these teams are, both Minnesota and their opponents. And so when you look at it in that respect, in my eyes, where if you think of every single Power four game so far as a coin flip, they're 2-3.
Yeah.
And that's where they've got to improve upon that. And they could be 4-1. They could be 5-0. I mean, you think about if they can make a kick or two against North Carolina. Now, yes, the sloppiness played a part of it. If they don't implode on themselves in the second half against Iowa, if a rule change on a kickoff is implemented 48 hours before the game instead of 48 hours afterwards, who knows what happens, but don't shoot yourselves in the foot beforehand. And then Minnesota gets the benefit of it against the against the Los Angeles teams. It's just been so funny to kind of see that maybe what I take away from this, Luke, is the margin for error for so many of these Big Ten teams, if your name's not Ohio State, Oregon, has been so razor thin because everybody's in and amongst one another within a standard deviation, probably within the same talent level. And then it just comes down to who gets the bounce, who gets the call, and who makes the plays at the end of the game.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think this is just the new Big Ten, right? With the exception of Ohio State, who's kind of rolled everyone and played one tight game against Oregon, you know, Oregon, if you look at them, like they played tight games against Idaho and Boise State before they kind of got rolling. They've started to play better. And, you know, again, we can all say, hey, you know, first games are very weird and we shouldn't really take a lot of stock that they only beat Idaho 24-14. But in the same respect, I don't know if anybody would have picked Indiana to be where they are unless your name was Daniel House, right? Like, I think this is just a function of the new Big Ten in general. I really do think that you have the opportunity, if you play well, to just about win any game. And I think the dominance that we saw before, I don't think it's gone. I still think Ohio State and Oregon and some of these schools year in and year out will probably be, you know, the top teams, and they might blow out some teams. But I also think that the razor thin margin is there, as you pointed out, and it's just a couple plays here and there. And I think more now than ever, that's going to continue to be the case.
Well, even think about projecting forward. I mean, you look at the projected probably Vegas spreads for the next five games. So you got Maryland and Illinois and Rutgers before another bye week, and then you get Penn State at home on Senior Day before you then travel to Madison for a Black Friday game. Here's how just the margin for error is within the Big Ten, and Minnesota is included in that. It wouldn't shock me if Minnesota lost every game. It wouldn't shock me if Minnesota won every game.
Yeah.
Where does the reality lie? Probably 2-3 or 3-2. That's the most likely outcome. Mm-hmm. But there isn't a single game on the – again, I understand Penn State has had a heck of a run, but we're talking about a team that just last week – I mean, I watched that game up in the press box. I don't think there's a big difference between USC and Penn State, and that's a Minnesota team that beat USC. So it's just – who can play the most consistent football and who gets the bounces, Luke? I mean, that's how razor thin this thing just appears to be throughout all 18 Big Ten teams, more or less. I mean, you have two teams at the top, and Ohio State and Oregon, who are, to me, clear college football playoff contender teams. I think if Penn State continues on the run that they're on, they're certainly going to be in that conversation as well. But I just think, especially in between the bye week here coming up, these next three games are just so critical to making sure you get bowl game eligibility.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good place to go from here, Ryan, is looking at this next three-game stretch, right? And I don't want to say we're only going to be looking forward. We'll continue to look back in this episode, I think. But, you know, as we went into the season, I think we said that this three-game stretch was going to be massive, and it is going to be massive. Here's the thing that I find interesting. Do you pay attention to Kay Ford ratings, Kelly Ford's ratings?
Yeah, I have. I haven't looked at it recently here, so what's the story?
At one point, I think the only game that they were predicted to be a slight advantage in these three games coming up was Maryland. They're now, the win probability by Kelly Ford against Maryland is 67%. Against Illinois and Rutgers, it's now 55%. So they're on the plus side of both of those now, which I found fascinating. I think I can't remember exactly before the season. I should have screenshotted this, but the Gophers conference win total was around 3, and now he's projecting it to be 4.4. So you've got a good, to your point, this is, I think it's really accurate to say that the Gophers could finish anywhere with 4 or 5 Big Ten wins, you know, in conference play. But I think that 3-game stretch, you know, really does those 2 wins in a row or playing Michigan really tough, has that really what's kind of flipped the analytics to say, hey, Minnesota might actually be a favorite, or at least not a big favorite, but a very slight favorite against Maryland, Illinois, and Rutgers?
Well, that's where I even looked at ESPN FBI this morning, and I'm not a huge FBI guy.
No.
I swear to God, they just Minnesota. If you go off ESPN FBI preseason stuff, Minnesota should win 3 games every year, and that's it. But now that they've got some data to do whatever advanced analytical thing they do, I think this Maryland game is now a 50-50. I think the Rutgers game is now a 50-50, and I think they have Illinois as a slight 60-40. But even that being said, we said coming into the year, I mean, this was going to be the stretch where if you're making a bowl game, you got to go 2-1.
Yep.
In an ideal world, you go 3-0, but you cannot go 0-3, and you can't go 1-2. Because then it makes, after the next bye week, which you get before Penn State, and then you host Wisconsin, I mean, you're 4-3. We both thought they were going to be here. Now, I will just still go back to, if you can make a kick against North Carolina, you're 5-2. And then if, again, everything's in front of them, and they can have a heck of a run out here, but it starts with beating a Maryland team that is not in a great spot. Now, again, recency bias, everything included, but this is a Maryland team that got absolutely boat raced in their own stadium by Northwestern.
Yeah.
And then previous to that, Indiana put a beatdown on them. So we're going to see where they're at after USC comes to town this weekend. Should be a good game by all accounts on both sides. But, Luke, it's just you have to take care of business here if you're a, I don't want to say a serious Gopher team, but there has just been far too much roller coaster throughout every given game outside of USC where you don't know what you're going to get, and then you shoot yourselves in the foot, and then you try to come back from it, and you're not always able to. So that's where, as much as it is about their opponents, and I think each one of these opponents, it's somewhere between a 40 and a 60% chance of winning the game if you're Minnesota, so much of it doesn't come down to their opponents. It comes down to themselves, where we can talk about the offensive issues and how to fix it in the defense and the special teams, but I would almost say it doesn't matter really who the opponent is going forward in these next 5 games, because you're capable of beating any of them. You're also capable of losing to any of them. It's up to you and how you play on that given day.
All right. So far through the season, the Gophers' largest spread that we looked at in conference games so far has been 9.5 at Michigan, which they clearly covered. And then their closest spread was Illinois. It was Iowa, which was 2.5 points, which Iowa absolutely covered, right? Iowa almost covered the over-under on their own, scoring 31 points. The reason I bring this up is that when looking at spreads, I think we've talked about this before, Ryan, but when looking at spreads, I think sometimes it can be misleading. In terms of setting expectations for a game on whether or not the game was a success, right? Ultimately, for me, the wins and losses are the most important thing, but the margin in spreads can obviously set your expectations inaccurately. Now, I say that because I think going forward, I think all of these games' lines very likely could be close. And I think if you get blown out in one of these games, like say Penn State or say Illinois, right, don't look at this as a complete loss. I know that this season has been a roller coaster emotionally for fans, right? But don't look at that where it's a close spread and then you end up getting blown out as a complete loss. Because think about Iowa. Yes, it was really disappointing to have the lead at halftime and then ultimately get blown out in the second half. But give this team a chance. They can bounce back. They've shown that they're resilient. thus far. So stick with them, you know, even throughout these last five games, because really, Ryan, the goal here is to be bowl eligible, is it not? And get that opportunity to be bowl eligible. And they're on their way.
That's where the preseason Vegas win line was 5.5.
Yes.
So Minnesota is trending to be right on that. There's a reason that Vegas gets to build all these beautiful new hotels and accommodations is because they're normally right on the line, and there's probably a slight edge for them. But it's just so fascinating to always kind of just take a 30,000-foot view of a season where every one of these individual games has told its own story on how they've gotten there and how they've won or how they've lost and what could have been and what actually happened. As we let off the podcast with Luke, you're 4-3. We both thought you were going to be 4-3, but the way you got to 4-3 is so much different than how we thought about this team 6-7 weeks ago. And that's where the thing is, you're going to hope PJ Fleck is right. And what do I mean by that? I mean, he has talked about how this team hasn't played its best football yet. And I would agree 100%. They haven't played to what they're capable of. The only game that you've really seen that more or less was the USC game, where they played their most complete game of the season. And I would still argue that wasn't a 85th or a 95th percentile outcome for them in terms of all three offense, defense, and special teams playing together. This team is capable of beating any team on the schedule by a considerable margin, even Penn State. Again, I don't pretend to be the Penn State believer here, but I would also say on the flip side, if they don't correct some of the issues, they're capable of losing to any of these teams. So the thing coming out of the bye is you have to get healthy. I mean, I'm thinking about players like Devin Eastern, Jalen Logan Redding, Maverick Baranowski, Kerry Brown, Aiden Goosby, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, I think they're pretty dang healthy, all things considered.
I have a question there, actually. Sure. Do you think that Pierce Walsh gets back? I haven't seen him on the injury report, but he had been injured earlier in the season.
He's been on the injury report every week.
He has? Okay, maybe I just missed it.
So some of the story there, from what I've been told, and you know, I know some Minnesota folks in and around that athletic complex aren't going to like this, but my comment back to you would be, tell your head coach to talk about injuries, and I won't talk to people in and amongst your program and give injury updates.
Yeah.
So Pierce Walsh got banged up with a soft tissue lower body injury during fall camp, and then he re-aggravated it attempting to come back in the early part of September. So now it's just, not only did you have a setback, I would argue it got a little bit worse. And so now it's maybe he's back by, say, Illinois or Rutgers, but this could just be a lost year for him, which stinks because there was a lot of optimism about him and in the spring and in the fall. I think you were going to be potentially looking at a 12 personnel of, instead of Jameson Gears and, say, Frank Bierman. Yes, Nick Kallerup will still be mixed in, but it would have been a lot more Jameson Gears and Pierce Walsh, because Pierce Walsh is a better receiver than Nick Kallerup at this stage. So, yeah, it's unfortunate that he had the re-aggravation, but now it's kind of like the Cody Lindenberg thing from last year.
Yeah, that's almost what I was going to say, yeah.
Is gets banged up in fall camp, and then he re-aggravates it trying to come back to play, and now it's even worse. And so now you're trying to make sure that it's at 100% before he does get back on the field. So, yeah, it's been strange where offensively, outside of Pierce Walsh, I know everybody's got bumps and bruises. You've played seven straight games, don't get me wrong. But the defensive side has seemingly been hit a lot more. And that's where, all right, tell me if I'm wrong with this one. When I think about the Gopher defense here so far, I just said this a little bit earlier on Parent of Spare. There seems to be three outcomes, more or less, for a Corey Heatherman defensive drive. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
A, a 3-and-out. B, a turnover. Or C, a 10 to 12 play touchdown drive in which they just cannot get off the field at any point. Now, I understand that, Ryan, well, most of the drives are going to end up like that. What do you mean? But it's like they either do really well in getting the offense off track immediately and it results in a 3-and-out. Or you get pressure because of it and you get your turnover. Or it just, you have missed tackles at the line of scrimmage. You can't get off the field on third down, which they are 14th in the Big Ten as we currently sit here on the first bye week after being the worst third down Big Ten defense a year ago. As we sit here today, they are giving up 48% of third downs to be converted against them by Big Ten opponents. That stinks. That plays a part in why they haven't had consistent success. But I would just say, Luke, and we talked about it with Derek after the UCLA game, but this defense is just so Jekyll and Hyde, where it's either a 90th percentile outcome or a 10th percentile outcome. And it's like, if you want to smooth it out in between to stop having the highest of highs and the lowest of lows and consistency, to me, it starts with being better on early downs, because I think the stat I looked up today is that this Gopher defense has faced the most third and shorts in all of the Big Ten. And by third and shorts, I believe that's third and one or third and two. They have faced something crazy, like 25 of them in the first seven games. And turns out it's a lot harder to get off the field on a third and one and third and two versus a third and five or a third and eight. So being better on early downs, or as Corey Heatherman loves to say with the media, getting a team off the tracks, has to be a crucial part of figuring out during the bye week here what to do in terms of getting off the field on third down.
Yeah, and I think that's the reality is the kind of defense approach that Heatherman takes, that kind of high risk, high reward, can happen, right? So you have to live with that to a certain extent. But you know, if you compare like this year and last year, I don't know how many turnovers they force, but I think they've clearly forced a higher percentage of turnovers this year, which has been great to see.
Which is, you know, that's one of the things that you think about, like Missouri last year. I know a lot of fans are, think about why Missouri was so successful in 2023. It's something I've talked about with Daniel House, is Missouri forced turnovers at such a high clip that it was just like, is it sustainable? Who knows? But that's part of why they had such a successful season. And then you look at this year, when it hasn't gone right for Missouri, it's the turnover margin. They're not forcing those gigantic explosive plays. And you even think back to this Gopher team. You look at the USC, that I believe they forced three turnovers against USC. Last week against UCLA, they forced three turnovers. But then you have the bust part of it, where against Iowa and Michigan, you force one turnover combined in eight quarters of play. Again, the boom-bust style, where it's like, okay, we get three or we get zero. 3-1. And yes, compared to last year, I mean, they are certainly forcing turnovers.
Yeah, they've forced 13 interceptions so far. They only had 12 all last season.
Right. I mean, that's where they have just been. I think they're the number one team in turnover margin in the Big Ten when you look at every single game, and they are. You know, they're plus 9 so far this season, which, that's the number one mark amongst all Big Ten teams, considering the non-conference as well. And that's where it's almost like, okay, you're plus 9 and you're only 4-3. And it's like, well, how? I mean, we've talked about it already. But even in conference play, they're plus 2 so far, which is sixth best. So, I mean, it's a quarterback on offense that knows how to take care of the ball. And even when it implodes on the offense, it's not because of turnovers, more or less, even though you can point to that Michigan game. But I think that's part of it, is can you defensively get off the field more? I still think you have to figure out the other Cody Lindenberg spot. Because with Maverick Baranowski out, it's just been, it just hasn't been good enough. And then I would also say the defensive line has to get healthy. I will continue to bang the drum of, they don't trust. I think the stat is Minnesota has 20 or 21 scholarship defensive linemen on the team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like six guys they trust, including two defensive tackles. And that's Devin Eastern and that's Anthony Smith. And that's where Jalen Logan Redding is not healthy. He needs to find something resembling health, because they don't feel comfortable in throwing out Logan Richter or Nate Becker. They only really feel comfortable with Lucas Finney, and you saw a little bit more Jackson Howard on the outside. But even behind Jod Joyner, we're seeing Darnell Effin Jeffries out there. And so my also counterpoint would be, okay, you got to figure out a way to trust more defensive linemen, because you can't keep playing Devin Eastern and Anthony Smith for 50 or 60 defensive snaps a game. I know that both of those guys, specifically Devin Eastern and Anthony Smith, played arguably their best games of the season. But for the longevity of this thing, you got to find more depth on the defensive line too.
Okay, let's catch a quick break, then we'll talk a little bit more about what we've seen this season, and then I don't know that we'll project too much forward, but we'll talk about what we've seen this season. Ryan, the Burns Insurance Agency is here to help you. As an independent insurance agent, they are going to shop for the best coverage for you at the very best price. And we know that they're a massive Gopher fan. So why wouldn't Gopher fans work with the Burns Insurance Agency?
Especially now that we're getting into in and around Halloween, there's going to be a lot of you that are going to be out driving. And as someone who's going to plan to be in a deer stand throughout most of this bye week, them deers, they're on the move at dusk and dawn and everywhere in between. So if you're thinking to yourself, boy, I hope that my auto insurance is up to date because I know I live out in the wooded communities. Well, check out the Burns Insurance Agency, a local independent insurance agent. You can be like my man, Austin, who came up to me on Oak Street before one of the Gopher games here in the last couple of weeks, said, hey, heard your ad, called your dad. Guess what? He saved me $700. Austin is just like you and me. So what I want you to do, check them out today at insurancebyburns.com or email him, bill@insurancebyburns.com.
Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group is here to support Gopher Gridiron Radio, but more importantly, they support Dinkytown athletes and the athletes that participate at the University of Minnesota. Ryan, now more than ever, NIL is a big deal, and maybe you don't have the cash on hand that you want to be able to support. You know what? That's okay. If you're buying or selling your house, or you have a friend that is buying or selling a house, make sure they know about Team Dinkytown Real Estate Group, because they are making a difference using part of the commission to support Dinkytown athletes.
And with this real estate market becoming a lot more buyer-friendly with lowering interest rates, or maybe you're thinking about selling your house now that you're going to have more buyers in the market. If you don't have a realtor and you want to support your favorite athletic programs at the University of Minnesota, what I want you to do, go to teamdinkytown.com, scroll around, become a little bit more familiar with it. Or if you just want to talk to somebody, go talk to the lovely folks at Team Dinkytown by calling them today, 612-250-8562.
Okay, Ryan, I do want to look at just kind of some individual performances and whatnot else, right? One thing that we have to look at is, Max Brosmer was brought in for a reason, right? They needed some stability at the quarterback position. They needed consistency at the quarterback position. And, you know, maybe he had a rocky start. One could argue, especially some first halves of games. But as of late, I remember we were doing the preview, Ryan, and we were laughing at the notion that the Gophers could complete 70% of their throws. Ryan, Max Brosmer has completed 68.1% of his throws. Like, that wasn't as crazy. And I'm not saying he's going to finish at 70%, but I never would have guessed 68%. I would have guessed like 62. This is an astonishing turnaround.
The funnier part is he's got the second most drops of any Big Ten quarterback. And if you take out the drops, he's at almost 80% completion percentage. Now, if there's one area of his game that I think everyone listening can agree that needs to get better, it's the deep ball.
No doubt.
Again, it's the most difficult throw for any college quarterback to make. It's also the one with the most variance because it is so far down the field. You'd like to be able to see him give his receivers more opportunities on those 20-plus yard throws for them to be able to go up and make a play. But I'd also argue, how many deep shots have we seen that haven't been completed, yet Daniel Jackson or Elijah Spencer, whoever it may be, draws the flag, which gives them the 15 yards?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I wrote it this morning when I was talking about my bye week superlatives on Gopher Illustrated, which you can go read. I mean, without trying to double dip, I mean, I think Max Brosmer has been the newcomer of the year on the offense.
Yeah.
I think he has brought stability. I think he has PJ Fleck trusting Greg Harbaugh and trusting the offense to call different plays. And I mean, I think that 3rd-and-2 play to Lamecki Brockington is a prime example where, if you don't trust the quarterback to make that throw, you're not going to let Greg Harbaugh go jet motion with a throwback screen. Because if you don't trust your quarterback to do so, how are you going to not get into a less risk-averse play call? But, I mean, I also think credit goes to Harbaugh for going out and getting Max Brosmer, where there was a lot of skepticism, I would say, by some members of the fan base, where it's, well, this is the best you can get, some kid from New Hampshire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I think the maybe the most important thing here, Luke, is for a head coach whose mantra is the ball is the program. You have a quarterback that also, I think, does not put the ball in harm's way very often at all, which I believe lets the offense, when it is starting to go a little bit more, that's why, is you have the head coach trusting the quarterback, and because he trusts the quarterback, maybe the offensive play calls can become more diverse.
Yeah, he did have a crucial fumble, but in that North Carolina game, but you got to keep in mind too, like, he had a play in that UCLA game where I was amazed he was able to hang on the ball, right? Mm-hmm. On a sack. And then you, conversely, when you look, you know, he has 4 interceptions on the season on 143 attempts. I mean, you compare that to last season, like it's night and day in terms of just the efficiency of in taking care of the ball. You know, Calic Manis, I'm not trying to rip him, but you know, he attempted 294 passes with 9 interceptions on the season. Conversely, Max has thrown it 210 times with 4 interceptions, right? So the rate is just better. And the completion percentage is noticeably better as well. And I also just think that the way that they're calling plays and the way that Harbaugh has some autonomy has really helped this offense in general. Now they have to be more consistent, especially in first halves. You know, this whole idea, you know, start fast, accelerate through the middle and finish strong. I think that they need to do a better job of starting fast and accelerating through the middle. But overall, Max Brosmer is, I think, unquestionably the difference between the offense last year and this year.
Yeah, I mean, if without Max Brosmer, they're 2-5 right now.
Yeah.
Like, without question, if they didn't make a change of quarterback, they'd be 2-5 right now. Now, I'd argue they should be 5-2. But that's where, if they are going to find more consistency, which Max Brosmer has brought a lot of it, if you want to see a lot more of her from the offense, I know people are tired of hearing it, but the hill I will continue to die on is, if you want the offense to be more consistent, the number one thing is this bleeping offensive line has to figure it out. The thing I have gotten most wrong, and I think a lot of listeners will tell you I get everything wrong, but the thing I've gotten most wrong, and I think some of the members of the staff have as well, is everyone thought, or I shouldn't say everyone, a large majority of the people I talked to in and amongst the folks in Dinkytown thought this offensive line was going to be a strength for them. That was their impression. And they have been everything but outside of the USC game. They have been a liability. They haven't been consistent in the run game. They haven't been consistent in pass protection. These missed assignments have been just glaring, and they set the offense off track. Because if there's one thing we have learned about this offense so far, Luke, is if this offense gets in second and third and long, just they're not good enough. They're just not good enough to get out of that rut. And how do they get in second and third and long? It's because an interior offensive lineman misses an assignment. It's because a tackle gets run behind. It's because the offensive line has another penalty, of which they have 16 through the first 7 games of the year. I even think back to the most recent game, UCLA. I think the right tackle gets called for a false start. I immediately said to myself in the press box, it was on either first or second down, that false start happens, and I'm like, this drive's going to end in a punt. They're not good enough because their offensive line isn't good enough. And why aren't they good enough with 4 multi-year starters? Now, Luke, I tell you, I talk about the problem, so why don't I give a potential solution? We talked about it a little bit with Derek after UCLA, but I would make a change somewhere. I mean, whether it's I think the most simple thing would be to flip-flop Greg Johnson and Ashton Beers.
Yeah.
Ashton Beers is the backup center. That's one of the things I always get questions about. You know, you go watch before the games, and who's taking snaps where. You have Greg Johnson working with Max Brosmer. It's Ashton Beers with Drake Lindsey. I think Tyler Cooper is now out there with them. And then you also have the true freshman in Brett Carroll. But peace and love to the Carroll family. He's not an option yet. So if you're going to make a switch at center, why wouldn't you just take less? Why wouldn't you just flip-flop those two? Or, I mean, the thing I would do before any of this is I'd insert Phillip Daniels into this freaking rotation. And I would put him at right tackle. I'd put Quinn Carroll at guard. you can pick between Ashton Beers and Greg Johnson at center, but I just think it would be a mistake to roll the same five back out there and expect different results. I mean, we talked for how many years about this offense just in general, about the definition of insanity. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we expecting at this point the offensive line to get better? We have a 57% sample size. And in six of the seven games, they really, frankly, haven't been that good. So I would make another personnel change. I know you're on your third right guard in Ashton Beers, but I would either insert Philip Daniels, flip-flop Beers, and Greg Johnson. Do something. Because I just think keeping it status quo, what is that going to change? Do you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I think that switch would make some sense. And at some point, you just have to try something, right? And I think that's the most logical thing to try at this point. It is frustrating. You know, we can talk a little bit about the running game. You know, Marcus Major has been a bright spot, right, in finding him. But the other reality is they haven't been able to sustain an effective running game. And in these next five games, that's going to be critical. If they can't, now we become too one-dimensional in the other direction, right, relative to what we've talked about before. But I do think another bright spot, Ryan, that has come up this year, and we should just touch on real quickly, and one thing that I think the offensive line has done a pretty decent job of is they've been able to mix in screens both with the running backs and the wide receivers in an effective way, you know, to stretch the defense horizontally where previously they maybe hadn't been in previous years.
Yeah, the screen game finally getting incorporated in year 8 of the PJ Fleck tenure. Oh man, I've seen your tweets, your emails, your smoke signals, your carrier pigeons, wherever they may be. I have agreed with you that I would love to see the screen game. Now, you see the screen game out wide with some of these throwbacks, some of these tunnel screens, but I'd also argue, hey, Greg Harbaugh, if you're listening, first of all, turn off the podcast. I don't believe he's a listener, but it's, why don't we incorporate a middle screen? You know? I'd love to see something like that. Again, it, heaven forbid we see something like that. But again, where would this team be without some of these screens, especially the last few weeks?
Yep.
I mean, they have been absolutely crucial to scoring enough points to beat UCLA and USC. I mean, you don't win those games without those screens. And that's where, again, adapting on the fly. And that was one of the things that Harbaugh talked about before that UCLA game. We asked him about the whole screen game, and he goes, it's one of those things where you don't really practice it in the spring and in the summer and in the fall before the first game because you're trying to figure out what you are as an offense and you're trying to get the 101 level things down. Mm-hmm. But once you get into the season and you figure out what you are, then you can start to incorporate the screens a little bit more. And that's where credit to him, because where would they be without that little niche within this offense?
No doubt. In the passing game, though, a bright spot for me, maybe not as consistent as one would like because there have been opportunities there, but I've been really impressed with Jameson Gears. I did not envision him to be the pass catcher that he has been. I 100% know that the injuries have played a part of this. I thought that was going to be Pierce Walsh, but he has been a nice revelation for me.
I want to see more consistency 100%. From him because I think that there's a lot more to see with him. He's had some very untimely drops, and I understand recency bias, and I think about the one last week. But if he can put together a nice little couple-game stretch here, you could see some stat lines of 4 for 54 with maybe a touchdown and stuff like that. But it's been more consistent from the tight ends, or even just, I mean, I got to give some kudos to Nick Kallerup. Him and Frank Bierman too, because Nick Kallerup took a step back last year as a blocker. I mean, where Nick Kallerup is always going to make his hay is as a run blocker. That's just kind of the reality of where it's at. Well, a year after having a 61 run blocking grade on PFF, which is dead average, he's now back up to 82.5, which puts him as one of the best run blocking tight ends in the Big Ten, or even the niche role that Frank Bierman has as your wham blocking tight end. Mm-hmm. And there, he has had some crucial, crucial blocks, or even he had a first down reception in the last game. So I think Eric Kaler has done a much better job with that group. I think you see Nick Haller up playing better. Jameson Gears is still figuring it out a little bit, but even getting something from Frank bleeping Bierman, I mean, good on you, Eric Kaler.
All right, so let's just hit a couple quick offensive highlights for you and for me. We don't have to comment on them, but
sure,
we can go quickly. So I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I'd say this. I think one of the things, and I wrote about it today, you know, who's kind of a breakout type of player so far this season, Elijah Spencer has quietly really, I mean, he had 9 receptions last year.
Mm-hmm.
9. I mean, it went about as poorly as it possibly could in what expectations were versus reality when he transferred in from Charlotte. So far this year, he's got 22 receptions, and I think he's almost quadrupled his receiving game total. So when we were looking for someone to step up alongside Daniel Jackson, I want to see more from Spencer still, but we're still talking about at the end of the season, he's likely to finish with 35 receptions. And I feel like it's been a little bit quieter than what people were expecting, but I think he has been much better in 2024 and he deserves credit for that.
One for me that he seemingly makes a big time play just maybe once or twice a game, but in a kind of a crucial spot is Lamecki Brockington. You think about
call him by his true name within your household, please.
Yeah. My son calls him Lamecki Rocket Ship.
There you go.
Yes. So, but Lamecki Brockington, I think back to that screen just against UCLA. I think about that throw against Michigan, as they go down to get the Daniel Jackson touchdown. You know, like he's just found spots in special, in key moments in time. But also the other thing to look at is he is an incredibly good run blocker.
Yeah, he's one of the best that they've had. I think Chris Ottman-Bell is somebody who comes to mind as a really physical player in the run game.
Yep.
And Lamecki as well. And that's why I was happy to see Lamecki get rewarded, because what he does out there is a lot of physicality and it's not a lot of reward in the pass game. So to see Harbaugh trust him in that 3rd-and-2 against UCLA on that throwback, I mean, it's good to reward guys like that every once in a while.
Okay.
How about what has surprised you, or who has surprised you the most defensively?
Robinson. From the beginning of the season, I didn't have the expectations that Ethan Robinson would have the season that he did. And given the injuries, the injury situation with Justin Wally, and I'm not saying he's been, you know, all Big Ten. Maybe all Big Ten honorable mention, but he has been really good.
Well, that's where you look at no corner, according to Pro Football Focus, has been targeted more than Ethan Robinson this season. He has only allowed 14 receptions, and he's only allowed 169 receiving yards.
Yeah.
And he's got more interceptions and pass breakups than touchdowns allowed. I mean, I thought he was going to be good, but I think he has certainly exceeded my expectations. Now, I'll pick a different member of the secondary. Now, I'm not going to take the low-hanging fruit, and we'll talk about Coy. Don't worry.
We'll get to
special. It's the other freshman safety.
Yeah.
Like, Kerry Brown has been
100%.
He has been really good. I mean, if you look at Pro Football Focus, he's their second highest graded player on the entire defense. And oh, by the way, he's 3rd on the team in tackles, and he already missed a game.
Yeah.
Like, he has made plays, which is why he was the freshman of the week against Nevada. But I think him, even as a tackler and in run defense, has been something to where you can start to project out a little bit. And I talked about before the season, safety was a spot that I really didn't feel good about. It was the biggest question mark on the entire team to me.
Mm-hmm.
And now we sit here 7 games in and you start to project forward into the future. And you're thinking to yourself, think about even the rest of this season with Aiden Goosby, who has played the best 2 games of his career against USC and UCLA, and then Coy Parrish and Kerry Brown. Coleman Bryson, yeah, he's still in there too, but you can start to get a little excited thinking about Kerry Brown and Coy Parrish plus Aiden Goosby, all underclassmen. You can start to get a little bit excited thinking about 2025 and 2026 in that regard because of the way that Kerry Brown has also ascended alongside Coy Parrish there. And that's where, against USC before Kerry went down, I mean, they were playing together out there on the field. So as much as it is about Ethan and as much as it is about Kerry, I mean, I think those are 2 guys there too. And then Do you want to take the floor on the pride of Vesco?
I got one other one for you.
Sure.
Anthony Smith. He's second in the team in hurries with 5. He's second in the team with sacks. He's playing oftentimes two, or maybe sometimes 3 positions. I guess defensive tackle and defensive end. It's not really 3 positions. He's always the first guy off the bus you want. I'm not saying that he doesn't have room to improve, because he does, but I'm telling you, it feels like it's starting to click for him.
Well, that's where you thought it was starting to click for him, against like North Carolina and specifically Rhode Island. I mean, he looked tremendous in that Rhode Island game. And then he just essentially disappears a little bit against Nevada, Iowa, Michigan, doesn't register a single hurry. Now, the last 2 games against USC and UCLA, he's played some of his best football of his career. He's still a young guy. And I think because of that, you're going to go through peaks and valleys a little bit more. But if you can get that Anthony Smith, who showed up against UCLA, in the next 3 games, you are going to throw 3 quarterbacks off track pretty quickly. So I hope it clicks, because if you can get Jalen Logan Redding healthy, and then you can throw out a defensive line of Devin Eastern, Ja Joyner, Danny Strigow, and either Jalen Logan Redding or Anthony Smith, that's about as good of a front four as you're going to field in a Gopher uniform. But I would also say, just McCoy, you know, I looked it up today. Luke, he played 35 defensive snaps in the first 5 games of the year.
Yeah.
And now in the last 2 weeks, he's played a combined 101. Now, a lot of that to me is because Kerry Brown went down and then he got inserted into the game. Aiden Goosby goes down, he plays more. But now that you're at the stage of you can't put him back in the bottle and he has some sort of a role. Now, I think people are going to get upset with, say, if Coleman Bryson starts at safety. Well, I don't really care who starts, because I know what the snap totals are at the end of the game.
Right.
And I know that Coy Parrish is going to play more than about any other safety at this point, if the last 2 games are any indication. But I will say this. I mean, the first couple of chapters here of the Coy Parrish story, when he just was named Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week for his 2 turnovers, at some point, Coy is going to have a bad game. He's a true freshman in the Big Ten.
It happens.
He's going to have a bad game. Mm-hmm. And I still even think against UCLA, he missed some tackles that he probably wants to have back. He's a true freshman. And yes, he's hashtag one of us. And yes, he's the second highest rated kid to sign with the Gopher football team in the modern era. He's in that same tier as Jeff Jones and Carter Coughlin and those guys. But to see the way that this fan base has embraced him, I can only imagine what that is like for a kid from the state of Minnesota. And that's where I did run into his mom at the airport before my flight to.
Oh, good for you.
And she's a great lady. If you haven't heard the story about the Bad Moms Club, you can go listen to PJ Fleck talk about that. But, you know, the amount of people that the Parrish family brings down for these games, and to see him and that family embrace the way that they are, I mean, that's going to send a message to some of the other top in-state kids. Like, you can go elsewhere, and Coy could have. He could have went to Ohio State, could have went to anywhere. But to see him become one of the most beloved Gophers, I think, in my time, in such a short amount of time, it helps when you make as many plays as he has. But to watch that journey unfold has been really cool to watch for someone like myself in the media.
All right. So I guess, you know, we're going to kind of wrap this thing up real quick. What are a couple things on your mind that we should make sure we get recorded here before we publish this?
Yeah, I'd say for those of you during the bye week, check out Gopher Illustrated, because coaches will be on the road starting on Wednesday for MEA, and then they'll continue into the weekend. You can go see who they're seeing, things like that. But I would say for this team, just overarchingly, it's try to get healthy, especially on defense. Offensively, if I'm the offensive staff this week, I'm trying to find more consistency, yes. But how do you do that? I just fully believe you have to make a change on the offensive line. Now, I have no indication that they're going to do that, but I hope it's in their discussions this week. Defensively, I mean, if you want to get truly galaxy-brained, I mean, this is, and I will be clear here, I have heard no indication.
Galaxy-brained.
I have heard no indication that the Gopher staff is thinking about doing this, but I would almost think about moving Coleman Bryson down to Will linebacker during the bye week here and seeing what it looks like. especially if Maverick Baranowski can't come back. Now, if Maverick Baranowski can come back here at some point, say before Illinois, if he can get back by that Illinois game, I'd keep Coleman at safety. But if he's going to be out long term here, at least to the next bye week, I don't know that. I would tell you this. I would experiment with him there because, I mean, what's the difference between body type-wise Joey Gerlach and Coleman Bryson? Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a really much that much bigger of a difference, and I would almost argue Coleman is a better run player and he's more physical. And then I think finally, special teams-wise, Luke, I don't know where he's got to go, if it's just in a physical location, if he's got to go sit in a dark room, if he's got to go back home and just like not think about football, but getting Dragon Kesich right is arguably one of the most important things because you talked about it already. I mean, at least four of the five next games are going to be within a touchdown spread. You're going to be somewhere between 40% and 60% to win those games. And Dragon Kesich is going to be put in a spot or whoever the kicker is going to be to win the game or lose the game. And it hasn't been the start to his season that anybody wanted. But getting Dragon Kesich back and more consistent is arguably the most important thing for a team that is going to be playing in a lot of close games these next five.
Yeah, and you know, Ryan, it's been a roller coaster, as we said. But like, as you look back on the season, as you're a fan, man, what incredible weather that we've had thus far. There have been some great home game experiences and some frustrating ones as well. But I mean, that's what's we talked about early in the season. I think maybe I mentioned this, but what an elite start to the season from a schedule perspective. Now you set yourself up for an opportunity to maybe do something pretty special. Let's see if they can execute on it. The last question I have for you, Ryan.
Oh boy.
Are you prepared to get over to the local Roseville establishment to watch Max Brosmer and Daniel Jackson? Or do you still need to take a shower?
I still need to take a shower. I would also say I'm going to hop in a tree here. I don't get a ton of time during the season to try and go out and get my venison, whether it's the 30-point buck or whether it's just shooting a mature doe. So that's what I'm going to be spending a little bit of time doing here this week is trying to go sit in a tree, spend some time with my dad, and that aspect, something that we really enjoy together. And I feel like the older I get, Luke, you know, you have that shift where it's like when you're under 18, your parents are, yeah, I wouldn't say your enemies, but
welcome.
You're not like friends.
Yeah.
And then it really starts to click in college. And now, especially that I'm in my early 30s, I understand that father time is undefeated. And I, you know, I certainly look forward to spending time with my dad. One of the things we do together is we go hunting and fishing.
Yeah.
So whether we are not going to be in the same tree stand, but even knowing where he is and you're texting each other, what are you seeing? Or, you know, heaven forbid you get a bingo text where it's, all right, well, now I get to help him start dragging. So
yeah,
hopefully here during the bye week, hopefully before that 2:30 kickoff against Maryland next weekend for homecoming, of which, by the way, as your local Gopher meteorologist, or wannabe, the forecast 10 days out looks spectacular again for a late October game.
I know.
It's about as nice as you can get. It looks like it's going to be 60 degrees and sunny, yeah, which this fan base has been so spoiled, and good for you, because I remember that Wisconsin game of a couple of years ago. But for those of you in the Gold or Sky Yuma or pick your lot here, I think you're going to have some great tailgating weather when you get out there at 8:30. But I'll say this, Luke, I really hope the next time people hear my dulcet tones and they start to loathe themselves that they have to listen to me again, I'll remind you, it's your own choice. It's your own free will. I hope to have at least some venison at the butcher by then.
All right. Well, it's been fun to just connect here during the bye, talk about where the season has been and where it might go. Again, thank you all for listening. Thanks to our sponsors. You know, support those who support us and make this possible. Again, thanks for listening. Go Gophers.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready, order for Riley. I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Get ready. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is almost here. It's Black Friday in July, and it's coming your way. For 5 days only, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping on everything. Yes, everything right to your door. So mark your calendars. Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale starts July 24th. Shop everything home at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.